being a wise, discerning person is a life and relationship skill that will save you more heartache than you could ever imagine. But what's the difference between being a wise, discerning person and falling into being judging or judgmental? In today's episode, not only are we going to answer that question, but I'm going to show you three reasons why we're judgmental and three reasons or ways that we can grow in our wisdom and discernment. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana. I am your host, and we are just past midway in a series of podcasts that really is about developing or improving our relationship skills, right? It's not so much about how to find a partner in this series. That's what our last series was about. This is about living life more skillfully, showing up in the world in a more healthy, mindful, conscious way. And the reason I think that that is so important is because life is difficult. You know, in saying that, it reminds me of an author by the name of M. Scott Peck. Back in the early 80s, when I first started getting interested in spiritual and personal growth and so forth, he was one of the first authors I read, and he wrote a book that I think is, still stands the test of time. It was called The Road Less Traveled, and the first line in the book is, life is difficult, okay? And I think when I read that line, I didn't know how profound that actually was. But now that I'm in my early 60s, I'm like, oh, now I'm starting to get what he was trying to say. It's like, life is complicated. Relationships are really complicated. In fact, sometimes I joke that relationships would be really easy if it wasn't for people. I mean, just think how easy your relationship is with your pet, okay? So relationships are complicated. Life is complicated. And I think one of the things that makes it that way is because as we live and as we interact and as we just do our lives, we know certain things are true. I know this is true. I know that's true. But then when you put them side by side, you're like, but they're kind of contradictory. Like, I know this is true and that's true, but how can they both be true at the same time? And that's one of the things that makes life so complicated. So that's what this series has been about, looking at these seemingly contradictory ideas and trying to understand them, because as we do, we really are developing our life skills, our relationship skills. So we've looked at the two truths of accepting life as it is, but also needing to take action. It's like, which is it? They're both true, but when you put them together, they seem contradictory. So that was week one. In week two, we talked about thinking and feeling. I mean, thoughts and thinking and being smart, that matters. But so do feelings and emotions. And very often, those are kind of competing or contradictory ideas. So how do we embrace both? Okay? And then week three was about compassion, the ability to be understanding and forgiving. That's important. That's true, right? But compare that with responsibility and accountability and taking ownership. Well, that's true too. So how do you be both compassionate and holding people to account? how does that work? And we jumped into that and hopefully gave you some ideas around that. Today, we're talking about being judgmental versus discerning. Judgment versus discernment. Now, in this sense, both are obviously true, right? We are judgmental. Right. I'm not saying that's good, and we're going to talk about that. But we are judgmental, but okay, we're not supposed to be judgmental, right? So does that mean discernment has no place? Does that mean we shouldn't be wise, that we shouldn't point to certain things and say, hey, that ain't okay. That's not healthy. That's not supportive. That's not in alignment with love. That's not right. All right. I mean, so we all know, even though we're all judgmental, that we're probably not supposed to be, right? It's not, nobody would walk around saying, you know, I'm the most judgmental person in the world. It's not a quality that we would put in our online platforms. You know, I'm a healthy, fit guy with a good sense of humor, and I am fucking judgmental. Let's go on a date, right? So it's a quality that we all sort of have to one degree or another. Obviously, some people are way more judgmental than others. But if you have an ego, and you do, then you're judgmental to some degree, okay? So we don't want to be judgmental, but we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't want to say, "Oh, I'm not judgmental," and then we have no wisdom. We don't have any discernment that makes good choices or points out something that's harmful, right? So that's what I want to talk about today. Is we don't want to be judgmental, but then what is discernment if it's not that? Okay? So that's what I want to get into. But I also, because that can be, I think I can give you some thoughts on that pretty quickly. But then what I want to do is I want to spend some time explaining why we are judgmental. In other words, I want to help us stop being judgmental. And believe it or not, one of the ways that you stop being judgmental is really understanding why you are. Just seeing it, understanding what's really happening inside of us. The more we recognize it, the more it sort of dissolves the impulse to judge. Okay? So that's the one thing I want to do is help us understand why we're judgmental so that we can stop being so judgmental. But then I also want to say and talk about how can we grow in discernment? After I point out the differences between being judgmental and discerning, I want to give myself some pointers on how can we become more wise, more discerning people, because that's a huge life skill. Is it not? Okay, so first, how do you know the difference between judgment and discernment? Okay, here's what's come to me. Let me just suggest this to you. You try it on. I'm not saying I'm right about this. I haven't done any research. I haven't looked into what other people say. I hardly ever do that. Although, if I'm going to be really honest with everybody on this podcast, with the relationship wisdom I share, even though I don't do research on things and I don't tell you what other people are saying, other than maybe like Michael Singer or something like that, I've read so many books in my life that I don't know what is my thought and what is somebody else's, right? I've just fed myself in my opinion, I've fed myself some of the wisest, smartest, most evolved people, starting with M. Scott Peck. I've read literally probably a couple of thousand books. There was a time in my life where I was reading two books a week, and that went on for a number of years. Okay, so a lot of the stuff that I'm sharing, it probably came from someone. I could not tell you. It's just a part of me now. And so this thing with discernment and judgment, maybe this came from someone. I don't know. But to me, you know you're in the judgmental category when there is a spirit of condemnation within you. Judgment is not saying, that doesn't seem healthy to me. That is not something that I want in my life. That is not something that I want to do or something I want to support. That's more in the discernment category. Judgment is, you're wrong. You're bad. How could you? Right? It's your thought about a situation wrapped up in condemnation, wrapped up in blame, wrapped up in kind of a condescending, put-down kind of spirit. Does that make sense? So you could look at a situation or something a person's doing and have some reaction to it, but it might be judgmental or discerning. Like, let's just take something like smoking, okay? And I'll be honest with you, I often fall into judgment with that. I often condemn people for slowly killing themselves because in my mind, the science says that you're shortening your life when you do that. So I'll just admit that I can be judgmental about that. But you could look at smoking and you could say, I know that's not healthy. That's not something that I want in my life. But you could have an understanding that they're smoking. It's difficult to stop smoking. Perhaps they do it because they deal with such anxiety. In other words, they're doing it for some kind of reason that they think is maybe helping them. So you look at a person and say, I don't think that that's healthy. I don't think that's something a person should do. But I'm not condemning them. I'm not really making them wrong and making them bad and making fun of them and really putting them down. I'm just saying for me, that's not right. It's not really right for you either. It's not healthy. So it's more of a wisdom, more of a discernment, a noticing rather than a, for lack of a better term, a judgment. Passing judgment. You're guilty, like a court of law, right? Stand up, as the judge reads the verdict. You are guilty. You are going to be punished. You're condemned to serve so many years in prison. Okay? So I think that's the difference. And so when you notice your mind judging, and you, because if you pay attention, you're going to see it happen all the time. You turn on Fox or turn on CNN. And depending on what side of the aisle you're on, your mind is going to immediately start judging. Okay? So don't worry about that. What you can do is just bring awareness to what the mind is doing. You really can be a fly on the wall of your own mind. You really can watch your own thoughts. This is what meditation teaches you. Just sit quietly and just pay attention, and you can notice sensations in your body. You can notice how you're breathing. You can notice sounds that you hear, and you can notice your thoughts. Oh, I'm thinking about work. Oh, I'm thinking about what am I going to do later for lunch. right? You can notice that you're thinking, that you have thoughts, right? So when you do that, what you can do is notice, is there a spirit of condemnation in that? Am I condemning? Am I judging? Am I blaming? Am I making fun of? Right? You can notice whether there's a spirit of that within you, or whether you're simply having your own wisdom about what you feel is appropriate for you and what you like and what you don't like. Right? I mean, like, just to make this a little bit lighter, right? You could go with someone to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream, and they offer peppermint caramel banana something or other. And you're like, oh God, like, what's wrong with you to eat something like that's nasty? Okay. So that's judgment. You're sort of condemning them for their lack of taste in ice cream. Okay. Although you might just love what I just said. That would be disgusting to me. Okay. I don't like peppermint. I don't like caramel. So that's different than saying, oh, really? You like that? Gosh, that's not for me. I don't, that sounds awful. Now I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, oh, that doesn't work for me. Really? You like that? I mean, you know, to each his own, right? I mean, but for me, you know, so there's a difference. You pick the difference up. So that's the first thing you can do, is don't try to stop judging. Don't. It's useless. You have a mind. You see things. Even before you even notice it, your mind is already making judgments. Just step back and watch what's happening within you and notice, am I condemning or am I simply preferring? Am I simply saying, well, that's not for me? Or you could be saying, well, that really isn't healthy, but there's not a condemnation in it. That's not really appropriate behavior for this situation, but you're not condemning. You're saying that doesn't sound very, that doesn't look very wise to me. That doesn't look like it's going to help anybody or anything, right? Like, take road rage. Have you ever witnessed other people in the midst of road rage? Like, people in front of you, they start cutting each other off and then they're slowing down and they're driving side by side and you see them flipping the bird out the window to each other. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Okay, so you could look at that and you could be judgmental. You really could. You could say, you know, you could condemn them for being such assholes, for being so stupid, right? Or you could look at that and say, well, I might not have actually engaged in that full-scale road rage, but I've gotten pretty pissed off at people when I'm driving. So I'm not really going to condemn them, but wow, that doesn't look safe. That doesn't look healthy. That's just not a wise thing, right? So you're looking at something and you're discerning kind of healthy, not healthy, appropriate, not appropriate, but there's not necessarily a spirit of condemnation, but you also could be very condemning. Okay. So it's not so much that you're having a reaction to something. It's whether or not the reaction is coming from condemnation or a simple place of wisdom of what you feel is right or not, or appropriate or not. Does that make sense? Okay. So really, this is a part of what it means to live a mindful or conscious life. What does mindfulness mean? It means paying attention. That's all it means. It means paying attention. And in this situation, you're paying attention to your mind. You know, am I just being wise and discerning and making distinctions between things, and I have my view and what I think is appropriate for me and what I like and don't like? Or am I condemning as I'm doing that? If I'm condemning, then I'm getting into something that, as I'll talk about in just a minute, that that's more egotistical. And so with that, let's shift gears. And now, since I personally believe we're all judgmental, those who aren't just lack self-awareness. They're just not paying attention. The people that don't think they're judgmental are probably judging so often that they're so used to it, they don't even know they're doing it. Right? It's just it's sort of like you never notice your own hair growing, right? But you know it's growing, but you don't. I don't think my hair is growing because I don't notice it, right? Because you're so close to it, you don't see it. And we can be judging. Our minds are judging and condemning so often that sometimes we don't even know we're doing it because it's the only experience we're familiar with, right? So if you want to argue with me that there are some people who are not judgmental, go for it. I just haven't met them. I'm certainly not one of those. So let's talk about why we are judgmental, okay? And again, I think the more we understand why we do something, it begins to loosen its grip on us. We sort of are exposing ourselves a little bit. And when you know why you're being judgmental, it takes the fun out of it. Okay? Because let's admit it. The ego, and that's one of the reasons why we're judgmental, the ego likes to judge. And this is the first reason why we do it. It's because we love to feel better than other people. The ego loves to feel superior, to feel better than. And that's because the ego, anyone's ego, is fundamentally insecure. And so one of the ways it makes it feel better about itself is to look around and condemn others who are doing things that, oh, I would never do that. Or, you know, I've never done that, so you're way worse than me. So this is something you can begin to notice. When you notice judgment happening and you're condemning, it's subtle, but you can notice that, man, I get a little juice out of making fun of someone. I get a little, I kind of feel a little better about me when I know I'm not being like them. Right? So one of the reasons that we judge is because it props up our own self-image. It makes us feel better about ourselves, superior. Okay? You notice that? It's really true. All right? The second reason why we judge is because we think we're right. It's as simple as that. You judge someone and you condemn them because in your mind, you're right and they're wrong. Your view is good. What they're doing is bad. It's almost so obvious you don't even see it. You think you're right. And so therefore, you judge someone. You can't be judgmental unless you think you're right. It's not possible. So this is what we've been talking about a lot in this series, is noticing how the mind works. And just to sum that up very quickly, is that your mind and your opinions and your stories and your judgments about how things are supposed to be and what people are supposed to do and what's right and wrong, that's come totally from your personal experiences in life. It comes from your conditioning, from your background. If you grew up in a completely different culture, in a different family, in an area that had different values, different principles, different things were important, you would have a whole different sense of what is right and wrong. That's why I say that if you ask someone in Hamas, is it right or wrong to kill Jewish people? They're going to say it's absolutely the right thing to do. And they are going to believe they're right. Because when their mind is trying to answer the question, is this right or wrong? The only way it can evaluate that is based upon the data that is in their system. They're going to go into their memory banks, they're going to go into their training, they're going to go into their experience and into the things they've been exposed to, and they're going to look at all that and come back with an answer. Say, yeah. But what they don't know is that their experience is just limited to what they've gone through. And if they had a wider experience or a different experience, they might understand, well, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I'm just right in my mind. Maybe I'm lacking experience and different perspectives. Maybe I only know what I know, but what I know is a sliver of what's to be known. So if they saw that principle, then they wouldn't trust their mind as much. They say, yeah, I mean, in my mind, it's the right thing to do, but maybe not. Maybe there's more to be known here. Okay? That is what's happening when we judge. I'm using an extreme example like Hamas just to make the point. But we're all doing that. That's why we shouldn't judge people in Hamas, because we're just like them, just on a smaller scale, right? And we haven't killed anyone. But anytime, I mean, Hamas is judgmental. Isn't that right? Right? The Jews are bad. The Jews are wrong. They don't belong on this land. They don't deserve to live. They don't deserve to exist. That's a judgment, right? It's a thought. And it's filled with condemnation. And it's because they think they're right. Don't you do the same thing? Don't I do the same thing? And again, not to the same degree, I hope, right? But the same mechanism, the same structure in our consciousness is operating. We think we're right. So we say that person shouldn't be dressed like that. What the hell's wrong with them? Right? That person shouldn't be smoking. I mean, God, I can't believe they're just killing themselves and they don't have any discipline and they're just weak-willed and, you know, they're running up the healthcare costs because everybody's health insurance now is more because they're doing stuff that's going to require so much medical care when they get older. I mean, does your mind sound like that? Or is it just me? Okay. So this is one of the ways that we stop being judgmental is you start to see, well, maybe I'm not judging in the same way or to the same degree, but the same mechanism is functioning in me as it is in them, which is why Jesus said, judge not, lest ye be judged. He said, hey, before you point out some big stick that's in somebody else's eye, why don't you put a mirror in front of your face and look at the log that's in your own? So he's sort of pointing out that if you spot it, you got it. That's one of the principles of being judging, is you see something and you condemn it. The very thing that you're condemning is also true of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't notice it and it wouldn't bother you. That's called shadow technology. It was, I think, first verbalized by Carl Jung. Shadow principles. If you spot it, you got it. What you react to strongly in another is on some level true of you. And again, maybe not to the same degree. Maybe you haven't murdered anyone. Maybe you haven't cut anyone's head off. I certainly hope you haven't. But in your spirit, you have, and so have I. Now, that doesn't mean we let Hamas off or any criminal off or anyone off if they're doing something very harmful and hurtful to others. No, we have laws, and if you are going to be damaging or dangerous, you should be locked up. Okay? But in our spirits, we don't live with condemnation. We actually have compassion. Compassion meaning we're not very different. The word compassion comes from common union or common passion. Commonality is the root word of compassion. You have compassion when you really recognize we're not so different. We're kind of the same. What I see in you, I can see in me. Okay? So we're judgmental because we think we're right. And we're not right. You don't know that that person shouldn't be smoking. You don't know that. You don't know their life. You don't know their situation. Okay? So the first two ways that we stop being judgmental is understanding why we are. And that is because underneath, we just want to feel better than other people. And it's kind of exciting to put people down because it makes us feel superior. And the second reason is we actually believe that we are right. Okay? The third reason of why we're judgmental is, I already alluded to it briefly, is because we lack self-awareness. Meaning we aren't seeing how we are doing the very same things that we're judging. Yes, maybe differently, but the same thing is happening. That's what Jesus was getting at. Hey, don't judge, because if you do, you're going to get judged. Well, why would you be judged? Because you're doing the same damn things that you're judging. So if you're condemning them, it's going to come back to you. It's going to be a little karma. Okay? So we judge because we lack self-awareness. Right? It's really difficult to point the finger and condemn someone when you are very aware of just doing the same thing. It's pretty hard to do. I mean, I think you can do it. I mean, I know I've done it, right? But it's really hard. Let's say you think like eating ice cream is bad, right? And if you eat it, you're condemning people for eating ice cream. Okay? Doesn't matter if it's just one time a month. No, you can never put sugar in your body. It's poison. And if you do it, you're just stupid and you don't understand anything and you're going to be diabetic and you have no discipline, right? So let's just say that you condemn people for eating ice cream as you have a chocolate shake in your hand. You're sipping your chocolate shake and you're thinking to yourself, look at those people eating ice cream. What a bunch of morons. Can't believe they're doing that, right? There's no way you could do that unless you lack complete self-awareness that you're eating ice cream yourself, right? But when you're eating it, you're like, okay, well, yeah, probably isn't very good for them. It's not really good for me, how can I condemn them unless I'm going to condemn myself, which is weird. Right. I mean, so the more you grow in self-awareness, the more you put a mirror up to yourself, you will become less judgmental. Because what you're going to find is everything you see in the world exists in you. Everything people are doing, you can find in yourself to some degree. Every neurotic habit that people have, every dangerous thing people do, every harmful thing, if you pay attention to yourself and you look within and you really become introspective, you're going to find that, I haven't done that exact thing, but I've done something like it. Right? That's what you find when you become a person interested in spiritual growth. That's why there's something called the dark night of the soul. It's because you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. All the things I've been condemning other people, everything I've been blaming others for, everything I've been making other people feel guilty about, shit, I do all the same things. I mean, you could look at someone the way they're parenting their kids, and you can not just say, I don't know if that's the best way to parent or the best way to react. I know that I choose to do it differently, right? So you can have discernment and wisdom and what you feel is the best for you and maybe for kids, but that's different than condemning the parents for what they're doing and making them wrong and making them bad, right? So you can notice that. You can notice that you're condemning. And if you really want to be an evolved person, you can say, well, the shadow thing means if I spot it, I got it. So in what ways have I done or am I doing what I'm seeing? In what way have I done this? Have I ever really yelled at my kid and called them names that they shouldn't be called? Right? You might be in the mall somewhere, some event, you see some parent getting frustrated with their little three-year-old and say, "You're such an idiot. Can't believe it," right? And you're like, "Oh, man. Man, what kind of parent would call their child an idiot?" Right? And instead of just noticing that and say, "Wow, that person's really frustrated." That probably isn't the best thing to do. I know that I really would not want to do that. That doesn't feel healthy for anyone involved. That's different than what kind of parent would ever do that and condemning them in your spirit. And then if you turn around and say, you know, but have I ever said anything that I, have I ever gotten really mad at my kids and said something came out of my mouth that I wish I never said? Come on now. If you don't answer yes to that, it's because you don't have kids. Okay? There ain't no one, no parent on the face of the earth that hasn't said things to their kids in the heat of the moment that they wish they could take back, including me. Okay? So I'll just tell you this. I don't want to play any games with my audience. I don't want you to think like I am this Mr. Eckhart Tolle, Michael Singer, enlightened being. Okay? I remember when my son was 3 years old. He was sitting in the bathtub. I can see it in my mind's eye right now, okay? And I'm trying to let go of the shame that comes up around this. But I was giving him a bath, and he wasn't cooperating, as three-year-olds have a tendency to do. And he was just giving me a hard time, and he wasn't washing, and I forget what he was, but he just wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. And I stood up, and I looked at him, and I said, "You're being such a jerk, Eric," and I walked out, right? I'm like, I called my three-year-old a jerk. Oh, my God. I mean, what is that? Right? I mean, so then when I'm in the mall and I see someone being harsh with their children, I mean, if they're hitting them or something or being very verbally abusive, I might walk over and say, "Sir, ma'am, let's take a breath here," right? So I'm not saying you would never do anything to step in, because that might be what discernment tells you to do. Wisdom says you need to stop something. But you can stop something without being condemning in your spirit. Because I could go up to that guy in the mall and say, "Dude, I get it, man. Man, I remember calling my kid a jerk one day in the bathtub. So I know how they can get under your skin. But you got to calm down here, right? That's, you've gone over, right? Can I help?" You know, see, that's discernment in action rather than judging and condemning in your spirit. So those are the three ways that you can break free of being judgmental. You notice, one, that when you're doing it, you're just wanting to feel better than someone. Two, you actually believe you're right and they're wrong and you're not. And three, you lack self-awareness to recognize that you do the very things that you're condemning. Okay? Now, let's kind of be a bit more positive, because that was a little bit of a negative rendition there. How do we grow in discernment? And I'm going to give you three things that came to my mind that are like really practical about how we can grow in wisdom. You know, get smarter, like get more street smarts. Become more discerning, make better choices, right? Make better decisions because we're coming from a place of wisdom. Now, in part one of this series, I talked all about acceptance, about how when the mud settles within us, when we're all stirred up and the water is dirty and murky and cloudy because all the mud is stirred up within us, that we can't see clearly to take appropriate action, well, that's the major way that you find discernment, because there is wisdom within you. It's not like you really need to become smarter necessarily, although we can learn things. I'll talk about that in a minute. But there is a wisdom already in you. There is a discernment already in you. Like you have all the wisdom that you need to function in your life. You're really not lacking anything. But what happens is when you're triggered and reactive on the inside, when you're all stirred up, you can't access your wisdom. You can't see it because you can't think straight. Remember that little illustration of if you're very dizzy and then try to do a math problem in your head, you can't think straight. You have to wait until you get your bearings, you find your balance. Then you could think in your head about how to do a math problem, right? That's what it's like, is when you're all stirred up, you can't think, okay? So you can't access the wisdom that you already have if you're not in a calm, centered, grounded place, okay? So that covers, that's the main foundation of being a discerning, wise person. But in addition to that, I believe you grow in discernment by learning from your experiences. In other words, when you look at your experiences and your results, like the current things happening in your life, the drama you might be in, the fact that you're single and you don't want to be, maybe what you weigh, maybe the condition of your career, the condition of your friendships, whatever it is, when you look at your current results and you take responsibility for them and you shift from, well, all of this that's happening in my life is happening to me, you shift into, now, it's not happening to me, it's happening by me, right? I'm doing something to create my experience. I haven't set boundaries. I don't speak up. I haven't dealt with a childhood wound that is attracting certain dynamics. I have a relationship persona that seems to attract certain kinds of people. I deal with stress or anger in a way that keeps it recycling. I've repressed things and not dealt with them. So when you look at your results and you look at them from the place of I'm responsible for what I'm experiencing, then what happens is you begin to ask questions of yourself. You shift into a place of curiosity. Well, why in the world am I doing this to myself? Why am I keeping myself single? See, you're not single because you haven't met the right person yet. You're single because you're sabotaging yourself in some way. You're keeping yourself single for some reason. Now, if you knew what it is, you'd stop doing it and you'd meet someone. Truly, it's as simple as that. But most of us, we don't know what we're doing to sabotage ourselves, to push people away, right? To turn people off. We don't know how we are keeping ourselves single. The only way you discover that is by shifting into curiosity. You shift out of, no, it's just happening to me. All the good ones are taken or gay. No, that's not it. It's not it at all. Okay. You shift into curiosity. What am I doing? What am I missing about myself? And then the universe will give you downloads. You will begin to discover the ways in which you're sabotaging yourself. And so you grow in wisdom when you follow that process. You wake up, right? You wake up to what's been really going on. I thought I just wasn't meeting someone because I was busy or because I've got this issue or because men are whatever, women are whatever, the online thing. And then your eyes are open. Someone turns, like you get enlightened. The lights come on within. It's like, oh my God, I never knew I was doing this. I never knew I was sabotaging myself. It's not any of those reasons. Now I know what it is. Now you're wise. Now you're discerning. It's not that. It's this. Right? So when you look at all of your results in your life from that perspective, refusing to blame it on anyone, but then looking in the mirror and wanting to discover, how am I writing the script? Why am I writing the script this way? How am I responsible for my results? You're going to find the answers, because I believe life wants you to know. All you got to do is open your heart and begin to wonder. And I believe there's going to be a flood of downloading into your system of insight, of aha moments. And that's what coaching is about, really. I don't have the wisdom on how you're sabotaging your love life, but I can help set you up in the space where you will discover your own truth. How do I know how you're sabotaging? I do know that you'll never find out if you think you aren't. If you think, no, I'm single because all the good ones are taken or gay. I'm single because I just haven't gotten lucky yet. I just haven't bumped into the right person. It's a numbers game. If you think that, then I can't help you, because you're closing yourself off to what you might be missing. But if you say, no, Roy, I'm willing, even though it baffles me, I'm willing to open up and to want to discover how I could be sabotaging myself and not even knowing it. Oh, well, if you're willing to do that, oh, there's certain questions I can ask you, certain places I can poke within you to where you might have one of these moments where the light goes on. It's like, oh my God, no wonder I'm single. That explains everything. It's an aha, I see it now. And then once you see it, it's not that hard to stop doing whatever it is you're doing to sabotage yourself. It's just that we don't know you're doing it. You can't stop doing it because you don't know you're doing it. Okay? So the first way you grow in discernment is by being a person who just takes radical responsibility. As much as it looks like this is someone else's fault, nope. It's my life. It's my movie. I'm writing the script somehow, some way, and I just want to discover what my part is in creating the results that I'm experiencing. And you're going to pop in wisdom. You're going to start seeing things about the human condition, about yourself, and your life is going to change and evolve and grow in ways you never thought were possible. Okay? So that's the first way. Take responsibility, shift into curiosity, and learn about yourself. The second, I'll be even more practical. Spend a lot more time reading, and maybe I'll say listening, than watching. Okay? Spend way more time reading than you do, or listening to podcasts than you do watching. Okay? Quit watching so many videos and TikToks and YouTube stuff and television and stuff like that. You want to grow in wisdom and discernment? Read. I believe, and this might be unfair, and I'm sure there's, because I've made some videos that are on YouTube. Okay. But I can tell you, as someone who's written 3 books and made a bunch of videos, it's way harder to write books. You have to be way more thoughtful. Most of the time you have an editor. If you've gotten published by one of the formal publishing houses, they have a whole team of people who are editing your ideas, not just your grammar. It goes through a whole process of committees and different things. Usually it's proofread and beta tested, right? Anybody can get on YouTube and make some damn video telling you about this or that. It's just easy to do. So I don't think the quality of the information you're getting when you're watching is as high as what you're getting when you're reading or maybe listening. So if you want to be a more wise person, read more. Read more. Read the books that have stood the test of time. Read the books that might be 10, 20, 30, 80, 100, 300, 1,000 years old, and people still swear by them. Okay? Because if something's true, it's always true. I mean, there are books that are out right now that I'm pretty sure 10 years from now, they'll be discredited because they were saying things and the science came out, research happened. It's like, oh, like for instance, there's all kinds of stuff on the internet about intermittent fasting. That's been debunked. It's really been shown that it doesn't work. If you do lose weight intermittent fasting, it's just because you're eating less calories because you only have a small window of time to eat. But there's no magic in eating in a 6-hour window. It's been studied, right? Years ago, people said eggs are bad for you. Not anymore, right? Years ago, they used to say having a glass or two of wine has some real health benefits for your heart. Not anymore. Okay? So if you want to grow in wisdom and discernment, not only are you reading, but you're reading books that have stood the test of time. They've been tested. They've been examined. And they are continuing to be loved and proven to be true over time. Like Eckhart Tolle wrote his two main books, The Power of Now and A New Earth, I think back in the 90s, okay? And there isn't anybody on any spiritual path that will not tell you today that those are two of the best books ever written. They're still as true today and powerful today as they ever were, okay? So that's one of the ways you grow in wisdom and discernment. Right? First of all, you're taking responsibility and learning from your creations and your mistakes, and you're becoming wiser because you're really paying attention to yourself and your results and how you've got your life the way it is. You're just wise because of that. And secondly, you're doing a lot of reading, more than listening and way more than watching. Okay? And then lastly, meditation. Meditation will give you more wisdom than anything you could ever do because you are going to learn about the nature of your mind. You are going to learn about the nature of thoughts and emotions. You will learn at how impermanent everything is. You're going to learn that you don't even choose your thoughts or your emotions. You would learn that they just come out of nowhere and they disappear into nowhere. And then you begin to learn what is the only thing that remains. If everything's impermanent, thoughts pop out of nowhere and then where to go? An emotion comes up and you feel sad or angry, but 3 minutes later, you don't feel that anymore. They come, they go. They're real, but they're not permanent. What's always there? Consciousness, awareness. You begin to discover who you really are in meditation. That you are not anything that you see or hear or smell or taste or touch or think or feel. You are that which is aware of that. And that has no quality. Awareness has no quality. You can't point to it. It's open space. It's consciousness. It's like the screen in a movie theater. It's just the white background in or on which everything appears. That's who you are. And in meditation, you learn that you're not your thoughts and you're not your emotions. All the things that you've identified yourself as. You begin to learn that anything after the words I am is false. It's just persona. I am a coach. No, I'm not. It's a role I play. I am a father and a husband. That's not who I am. It's roles that I play. I'm an author. I'm a golfer. No, these are things I do. I'm a man. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm spirit. I'm consciousness. Consciousness has no gender. I'm a man. It's simply the body that consciousness seems to live in. But it's not who I am. See, you only get wisdom on who you really are if you meditate. Meditation is the pathway to enlightenment. It's the pathway to realizing the truth of your nature, of what's real and what's not. That's what real discernment is, to know what's real and what's not, what's important and what's not, what should be focused on and what shouldn't be, what's real and what's mirage, what's temporary and what's permanent. You learn about the nature of mind and you discover who you are in meditation. So, do you want to be a wise, discerning person? Do you want that as a life skill? I hope you do. I know I do. Well, then, why don't we all decide? I'm going to be a person who takes responsibility for his experiences, her experiences, my results. I'm going to stop blaming and complaining and start owning that things are not happening to me but by me. And I'm going to be curious about, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I keeping myself single? Why am I keeping myself overweight? Why am I keeping myself financially strapped? Why am I keeping myself in drama with people? Why am I keeping myself in a conflict with my mother? It's not your mother. It really isn't. Right? So when you begin to ask those kinds of questions, you become wise, because you're going to find out the ways in which you are keeping yourself stuck in suffering and in patterns that aren't healthy. Why do I keep attracting unavailable men? It's not because men are unavailable. Why do I keep getting ghosted and gaslighted? It's not because everybody ghostlights and gaslights. No, they don't. It's just happening to you. You have a part in that. There's something to be discovered by that. Why do my relationships fall apart after 3 months? Oh, because people are afraid of commitment. No, it's not. Don't blame them. Something's going on in you to where your love life falls apart in 3 months. It's hard to own that, because the ego loves the blame. But when you own it and you're like, and then you become curious. Oh, then you discover things and you become wise. And then you read, and you read the best books. I did a podcast one time of listing the top 7 best personal and spiritual growth books ever written. Find it on my show page. Okay? So you read more than you watch. And then lastly, commit to meditation. Now, it's intimidating to meditate. It really is. So the best way to do it is go to wakingup.com. Sam Harris has created a meditation app called Waking Up. And it's a phenomenal tool. I think it does cost about $100-some a year. But if you ask for a free membership, they will give it to you for free for a year. No questions asked. He promotes that widely. So I'm not doing something weird here. He says, I don't want to let money stand in the way of anyone learning to meditate. You write an email to support@wakingup.com and say, hey, I hear I can get a free membership. Can you hook me up? And they will. And on that app, they have a 28-day introductory course. There are 28 10-minute meditations. They're just 10 minutes long. And you can sit for 10 minutes. And all you do, they're guided meditations, and you just do what he's telling you to do as best you can. So it's so easy, even a caveman can do it. Okay. But if you're new to meditation and you want to get started, I can tell you every person that works with me is required to get that app and to do the 28-day program. If you're a client of mine, you have to do it because of what I'm saying. Because meditation develops a key relationship skill. It gives you key life skills of understanding the nature of mind and thoughts and emotions and where they come from and how to deal with them. So go to wakingup.com, get that app, start meditating, get your way going to being a less judgmental person and a more discerning person. Does that make sense? Okay, now, next week, we're going to have a fun time talking about the seemingly contradictory issues of being selfish and unselfish. I'm going to make a case that both are important, and that sure seems like a contradiction. How can you be selfish and unselfish at the same time? And so, until next week, have a great one. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.